Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. When we last met the Trinidad-born trumpeter and band leader Etienne Charles, he was offering us an unexpected mix of calypso and other Afro-Caribbean music with American jazz. Now he's back with an ambitious new album, The San Jose Suite. It's about three towns with that name, San Jose, California, San Jose, Costa Rica, and Etienne's hometown of St. Joseph, formerly known as San Jose. All three towns were part of the Spanish conquest of the Americas, so they have complicated stories to tell about colonialism and resistance, and Etienne Charles and his band are here to play some of those songs from the San Jose Suite for us today. They'll begin with this one called Limon. Here's Etienne Charles and his band live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
That is some music from Etienne Charles and his band live here in the Soundcheck studio, a piece called Le Monde, which comes from Etienne's latest piece and album, both called The San Jose Suite. Etienne Charles playing the trumpet, Brian Hogan's on saxophone, Alex Wintz doing some very atmospheric work on the electric guitar, Victor Gould at our piano, Ben Williams playing the bass. It was an acoustic stand-up bass on that piece, but he's got an electric bass guitar here as well, and Obed Calvert behind our drum kit. Etienne, good to see you again. It's been a while.
Good to see you, John.
San Jose Suite. So it's a 10-part piece, but it's also the most recent album. And there's kind of, I would say, a big idea behind it, but it seems like there are several big ideas in this piece.
Yeah, so the big idea was about connecting these regions simply through migration, through the concept of migration and what caused migration, and the results of it simply being communities, and of course the positives and the negatives, like the negatives being conquest, you know,
right.
Resistance, slavery. And so it tied, once I had an idea for the piece, then all these different subsets started popping into my head as a result. Oh, this is a result of that, and this is, you know, anytime you start doing research, it's almost like you look at the footnotes and then that's another book to read.
Right,
you
know? Right.
So it was similar to that, but with respect to just travel and research, yeah.
So what gave you the idea for San Jose? I mean, you grew up in St. Joseph, which in the Spanish days was San Jose.
Yeah, I grew up near to St. Joseph, and I have family from there. And the idea actually came from after having been to three of those places. And so it was about, I'm thinking, okay, well, these are three former Spanish settlements. These are three former Spanish colonies. What happened in each place? But I did it without referencing the Spanish at all. It was specifically about the indigenous people of each place and the African immigrants of each place based on why they were there. But the whole concept came from, with respect to the African immigrants, was all post-slavery occurrences. So I traveled to each place, met with musicians, met with people, talked to them, learned about the history, and then started penning the piece.
And in all three places, not only do they share a name, but they share, as you say, this kind of history of Spanish conquest, the migration, usually forced, of African, you know, the African diaspora. Did you find that, you know, through the centuries and the generations, that there was something in common between these three places?
Oh, yeah. So the common denominators that I ended up coming up with for the suite were community and resistance. And specifically because, let's take Costa Rica, for instance. Mm-hmm. So the black culture of Costa Rica is a Caribbean culture, simply because the blacks that went to Costa Rica went there after digging the Panama Canal. You know, a lot of people went and built their fortune digging this because of very treacherous work, and so they were paid very well. And they were from Jamaica, Trinidad, Barbados, St. Kitts, Montserrat, a lot of the English-speaking Caribbean islands at the time. And so then in 1872, Costa Rica announced that they were building a railroad to go straight across the country, go straight across Central America, basically. And so they sent for workers. So instead of sending all the way to the Caribbean or all the way to Africa, we got a bunch of West Indians right now in Panama, let's just put an ad up. And a lot of people just crossed the border and went up to Costa Rica. So their black culture is a Caribbean culture. So the towns that we reference with Costa Rica for the black culture are Limon and Cahuita. Because when they moved there, Costa Rica decided to completely segregate. So they were only allowed to live in those two regions, Cahuita and Limon, which are like right next to each other.
Uh-huh.
But as a result, because of that isolation, their culture was kept very strong, in the sense that when you go to Limon, they speak English with a Caribbean accent. When you go to Cahuita, they speak English with a Caribbean accent. They eat peas and rice, stew fish, callaloo, you know, brown stew chicken. And their music is calypso. And so that first tune we did with Limon is about the work struggle of the Jamaicans and a lot of the West Indians in Limon, and specifically about Marcus Garvey and his experience, because that was his first employment outside of Jamaica, was in Limon. He was a timekeeper for the United Fruit Company, I think somewhere around like 1910, 1911,
really?
Somewhere around there. And he didn't spend, I think he spent maybe a year and a half, but he started a periodical there. I think it was called The Nation. And he published a couple times there. But yeah, he dealt with a lot of struggles being the middleman between, you know, the, you know, these white European and white Costa Rican companies. And he was the middleman between them and the workers. So, and of course, conditions were, you know, if now in 2016 people still have hard working conditions, you can imagine in 1910.
Yeah. And this next piece, Cahuita, on the record, this might be the piece with the most obvious kind of Caribbean rhythm to it. What is that rhythm?
So that's a calypso.
It's
a calypso rhythm, and it's an old school calypso rhythm, in the sense that it has a lot of high ends, a lot of you know, trying to replicate cowbells and shakers. And I was blown away when I went to Cahuita, because we had planned on just going to Limon, and we met a musician named Manuel Monestel in San Jose, and he was like, "Well, yeah, you need to go to Limon, but you really need to go to Cahuita because that's where the musicians are." And so we went down to Cahuita. It was myself and photographer Maria Nunes, and we met with the calypso king of Costa Rica, Walter Ferguson, who was 90. He might be 94 by now, because this was 2 years ago, and he was 92 then. And his wife is 95. Yeah, he's born in Panama. His father worked in the canal. He was born in Panama, moved to Costa Rica as a little boy when his father's a cook. And so they were getting land, they were getting plots to plant their vegetables and whatnot. And then they would cook and sell food in the town, in Limon, a lot. And he speaks with the thickest Jamaican accent I've ever heard. And he's never been to Jamaica, ever.
Wow.
And so it really and then he sang calypsos for us, and he has many recordings out, and then we had a calypso jam session.
So and you were documenting all of this.
Yeah, I did video documentation and photo documentation of everything, and audio recordings of exchanges with musicians.
Where is all that stuff?
Some of the video is on my Facebook page.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, we think of Costa Rica and we think, okay, we know what Costa Rica is. We know we know the people there. You know, they're all Costa Ricans. They all speak Spanish.
You think Pura Vida,
and then
yeah,
you just think of all the migration of people in all these unexpected ways, and the ways in which language and music are transmitted through the generations and somehow maintain their identity.
Exactly,
it's really a fascinating second story.
It's really a undiscovered gem. I mean, a lot of people stay in the north. And they go to, you know, they go to the beaches and
right,
go to San
right.
Jose, and there's a Hooters and a Walmart and there's a Marshalls and a TJ Maxx, and there's everything.
And you might as well be in Cleveland.
It's everything that you need to feel like you in Florida or Alabama or whatever, but then you're in your warm place. But then you go south and it's just like, whoa.
Yeah. All right, you want to take us to Cahuita?
Let's go to Cahuita.
All right, we're speaking with Etienne Charles. He and his band are here with us in the Soundcheck studio. The San Jose Suite is his most recent album, and the band is playing songs from it on Soundcheck. Here is this piece called Cahuita. That's called Cahuita. It is a live performance from Etienne Charles and his band here in the Soundcheck studio, and based on a kind of old-school calypso rhythm from this Anglophone Afro-Caribbean community in southern Costa Rica in the city of Cahuita. But it's sort of written in now into the American jazz tradition. How disparate are those? I mean, Afro-Caribbean music in its various forms and African-American jazz have a similar kind of well that they draw from.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from the same thing. I always tell people, you know, people ask me about, you know, well, you're from the Caribbean, why do you play jazz? And I explain to them that it's almost like being in a family. You know, I'm from Trinidad, and I have cousins from New York, but it's the same blood that goes through us. And so it's the same thing with respect to all of the musics of the African diaspora. And the dialogue has been, because of technology and because of the rate and because of travel, the dialogue has been there for centuries now. And so now you're hearing African music, African pop music, sound like reggae did in the late 80s and in the 90s and dub and dancehall, you know. And you're hearing it sounds like calypso. Mm-hmm. But it's not the first time that happens. It's very similar to when Fela Kuti came out with Afrobeat. And so the dialogue has been there. So it's very simple to put into, because it's all about the soul, right? Because that's the African music, African diaspora music, the common denominator of all of them, the two is soul and rhythm.
And it was Jelly Roll Morton back in the 30s who coined the term the Spanish tinge.
Exactly. He said it's not jazz if it does not the Spanish tinge. And a lot of people think that he meant European Spanish, but he's actually talking about the Caribbean look.
Right.
Now, there are theories that Jelly Roll Morton was of Haitian descent. But yeah, the Caribbean, I mean, if you think about the Americas and you think about North America, but then you think about the Caribbean, in the English-speaking Caribbean, slavery was abolished in 1834. You know, and then that's almost 30 years before slavery was abolished in the U.S. So you have free blacks roaming around. And it's the same thing with, you know, the French first abolished slavery in the 18th century.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the Haitian Revolution ended in 1801, 1804, around there. And so then you got free Haitians going on. So when I think of New Orleans, I think of the northern tip of the Caribbean.
Yep.
Because of the fact that it was a French colony, so it was different to the rest of the U.S., and so people were able to travel to and from.
Well, there was a whole class of people known as free people of color. You know, that idea that there was a community already.
Exactly. So the dialogue has been there, and we're just trying to continue to keep that dialogue. Yeah. Jazz has always been about trying to bring, you know, quote-unquote new sounds to the table. The traditional people like Horace Silver, Dizzy Gillespie, you know, Thelonious Monk, these types of musicians that were all about syncopation and rhythm and about soul and feeling and groove. And we're just trying to do the same thing here in 2016.
Yeah. And you think of Dizzy Gillespie working with people like Chano Pozo and, you know, the great Afro-Cuban musicians.
He went to Cuba not knowing where to find Chano Pozo. God, I was like, I need to find Chano Pozo. Like, you know. So, but it's also about searching for connections to each other based on what we look like and where we think we're from. And so, like, that whole West African coast, that's a vast coast. That's many, many tribes of different people. So that's why I think that there's so many musicians then and now that are interested in pulling sounds from around the diaspora. That's why the Bossa Nova beat took over. That's why the Mambo craze happened.
Well, now, what did you grow up with in Trinidad?
Oh, geez, man, the kitchen sink. You know, in terms of, my dad was a DJ,
so
he just told me that, you know, I can have his record collection if I want. So I'm pretty stoked about that. But he was a DJ, so you know, the radio played a lot of American music. So Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, everything that was popular in the 80s, Gloria Estefan, the Miami Sound Machine. Marvin Gaye, the whole Motown, the Temptations, and then on top of that, there's a lot of heavy Trini music. So Mighty Spiral, Lord Kitchen, A Roaring Lion, Swallow, Mighty Duke, Lord Melody, Roaring Lion. There's a whole list of that, and then the reggae, Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, and foreign like Third World and bands like Steel Pulse. I mean, and then rock and roll, like, you know, everybody grew up hearing some sort of Beatles tune, you know,
and jazz,
Sting, but not much jazz really.
Yeah.
Back then, what I knew as jazz was Chuck Mangione,
That
was like he had the biggest hit of the time, and so that was the sound of the trumpet, even though it was a flugelhorn, and to me that was also the sound of jazz. But that's what I knew. That's just like, okay, That's what they told you, so.
Yeah. Well, and now here you are with trumpet in hand, and this San Jose Suite, a really ambitious work, commissioned in part, or I guess in whole, by Chamber Music America and
exactly.
their jazz program.
Yeah, so their new Jazz Works program is funded by the Doris Duke Foundation, and they commission you to write a piece. That the keys to the piece has to be original composition. It has to involve improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I specifically wrote it in a way that featured every musician in the group. So like the drum solos are actually written into the charts, and they're written with us playing backgrounds behind the drummer. So it's not like there's a front line and a back line.
Right,
it's a band.
Right.
It's a band.
And you know, so you don't wander off the stage when Obed is
his
solo.
Exactly. It's not like, you know, you go smoke a cigarette back in the day. Right. You know, it's not like that. So anyway, it was a challenge because, you know, it was about thinking about all these different things and saying, but they're very gracious, and I always encourage musicians to go and check out CMA and check out what they're doing and try to get in and write for them.
Yeah. So the next piece you're going to do is Speed City, and on the record in the San Jose Suite, this is a three-part work with an intro, the piece itself, and a reprise, and some spoken text. What's going on there?
So that spoken text was actually just a part of my research when I went to San Jose, California. The African immigrants that I dealt with in San Jose, California were the student athletes that moved to California to study at San Jose State University and train there. Simply because they had a world-renowned track team that, you know, that fed the U.S. Olympic team. People like Lee Evans, John Carlos, Tommy Smith, you go down the list.
So John Carlos and Tommy Smith.
Carlos and Tommy Smith were both on the same track team at San Jose State.
The two who
gave
the Black Power salute
on the
podium in the 1968 Olympics.
Exactly. So the piece is about that evolution from when Harry Edwards was a student there in the early '60s. Dr. Harry Edwards was a legendary sociology professor at UC Berkeley, who works for the San Francisco 49ers now. And he was one of the architects behind that Black Power salute, because at the time, San Jose State was a completely segregated school. So Black students were only allowed to live in certain dorms, and most of them couldn't even get a lease to have an apartment. The main mantra became, why should we play where we can't work? Because at the end of the day, they didn't see anyone looking like them as a professor, as a coach. There were Black and Latino administrators, so secretaries and sure menial workers, but no one in positions of authority of that time. So they were pushing for them to try to recruit a Black coach, a Black assistant coach, something, and that evolved and spread around the country pretty quickly to become what we know now as the Olympic Project for Human Rights. And now I'm looking at the news today. In 2016, we're in Olympic year, and you read about Carmelo Anthony, and you read about all these athletes that are talking about what they are going to do to make a statement about, you know, Black Lives Matter and
right.
unnecessary police brutality and senseless killings that happen. And this is long after I thought about the suite and wrote the suite. You know, you look at University of Missouri's football team that was like, we're not going to play. And so the Speed City movement is about the most recent really tense time in the U.S., the late 60s. And it's just about how the community was formed of these students and how they supported each other.
So obviously we don't have the professor here, so it's just the music
music.
But and it has a kind of relentless rhythmic quality to it that is very American. It strikes me.
Because I was like, what was the music of the time that was revolutionary? And it was about the funk. You know, and so if you look at any movie about the Black Power movement, you look at any movie about the Black Panthers, you know, the driving beat of it. Like, you think of Ali. When I think of Muhammad Ali, I think of funk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because it's a heartbeat, and it was about proving yourself and taking over and fighting for your people. So that's what we tried to do with this piece.
All right, let's hear it. Speed City is the name of it, from the San Jose Suite by Etienne Charles. He and his band. Six pieces strong here with us in the Soundcheck studio today. This piece is called Speed City. Mm-hmm. Speed City seems an apt title for that piece of music from Etienne Charles and his band from the San Jose Suite, the name of his latest album, a 10-part work inspired by three cities named San Jose, the one in California, the one in Costa Rica, and St. Joseph in Trinidad, formerly San Jose, back in the days of the Spanish colonists. And once again, Etienne Charles playing the trumpet, Brian Hogan's on sax, Alex Wintz on guitar, Victor Gould at our piano, Ben Williams playing the bass, Obed Calvert behind the drum kit. And so the hard work of composing and arranging, that's all been done. Now you have the fun part, right? Of taking this out on the road.
Taking it to people, that's the fun part, is taking it and playing it. So that's what music is for. Music is the world's oldest, one of the world's oldest communicative devices.
Yep.
So.
And one that that we share with the birds, who you sort of in the piece that we started with tonight called Hyarima,
exactly.
Sort of evoking
that's the dialogue that happens. With respect to the indigenous people of Trinidad, they started making music to mimic the sounds of the earth,
yeah.
And the dances to mimic the animals.
Well, it's a really remarkable record and a really ambitious one as well. And congratulations on this achievement.
Thank you very much, John. Thanks for having us.
Great to see you again.
Same here, man. We'll talk football more next time.
Yeah, we spent an hour talking soccer when we should have been sound checking, but it worked out okay. Nice job.
Thanks.
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other live performances, videos shot in the studio, our daily gig alerts, our weekly music roundups, and more. Check it out at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.